Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am
Sofa King. No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny things.
I have to say, that clink sounded horrible.
Yeah, it was. I'm not like using the new glass. Let me see real quick.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I think it was a bottle.
It might be the bottle. Let's see.
It's done.
No, I could do it. I hit low. I did that.
Yeah.
New glass.
The art of the clink.
Yep. It's no good.
Well, I'll do better on this one. I'm going to open this one right now.
So,
it's like a wine bottle. What is that?
I want to start by giving my Shia LaBeouf update.
Okay.
As many listeners know, I think Shia LaBeouf is fucking awesome in his craziness. And something happened this week that's even more awesome than Shia LaBeouf that involves Shia LaBeouf. So I mentioned several episodes ago that right after Trump won the election, he and two artists ended up putting out a thing that was part of a museum in New York called He Will Not Divide Us. And the idea was to have people chanting 24 hours a day, He Will Not Divide Us, on a live webcam. And he did. It was up for quite a while. Him and Jaden Smith were there for the first like several days.
This is the one he got arrested on.
Yeah. So what happens is 4chan, who you never want to fuck with.
Yeah.
You never under any circumstances want to fuck with the website 4chan.
Yeah.
Apparently something went down and 4chan got involved. So they started to send tons of people from New York to wear like Donald Trump hats and start like saying pro Donald Trump things on the camera instead of He Will Not Divide Us. And this led to Shia LaBeouf apparently getting really pissed off, and he got violent towards them and he got arrested, and then the museum shut down the feed. So He Will Not Divide Us was down for quite a while.
So he divided them.
He divided them, but it gets much, much better than that.
Okay.
He moves the feed to Albuquerque, New Mexico, in the middle of nowhere. The two artists are the only ones that are there, and they vow that they themselves are going to say He Will Not Divide Us for the remainder of the 4 years, because they can't rely on New Yorkers because they got trolled by 4chan. So they moved to Albuquerque and they put it on the street and they did it. And 4chan figured out where it was because it was in Albuquerque and they located the building and they did all this stuff. So again, a bunch of people showed up and trolled it, and they ended up having to shut the thing down because they got ruined by 4chan. So then LaBeouf moves the He Will Not Divide Us. He decides that since they can't do that, they put a He Will Not Divide Us flag on a flagpole, and they put a camera facing it, and they put the live web stream back out instead of having someone say anything. Okay. Middle of nowhere, stationary camera.
Nobody knows where it's at. Except 4chan.
End of discussion. What the fuck are you going to do? How can you possibly find a flag with a stationary camera aiming at the stars? But the paparazzi took a picture of him outside of Greensville, Tennessee.
Bam.
So 4chan was immediately like, that's got to be where the flag is. So the film.
I would love to have this much time.
So the 4chan people.
Well, it's multiple people.
Yeah, it's a ton. So a bunch of 4chan people went to Greensboro and started driving around, and they would do a geotag and honk their horn. Okay. And then they would drive and do a geotag and honk their horn. So everybody watching the feed could start to hear the horn honk. So they could start to triangulate.
You're hotter.
So, yeah, exactly. So then they started getting hotter and hotter, but it wasn't even on a road. It was in the middle of a fucking field in the middle of nowhere. So some members of 4chan ended up using basically like fucking people who watch the stars for a living ended up looking at where the stars were on clear nights and what hour they passed and in what arc they passed in. And based on all these findings, they triangulated it to like within several hundred yards. And then they sent a bunch of drones out and found where the flagpole was. And they went out and they took the flag down and put up their little frogman symbol and a Donald Trump hat. And then they just shut it down. And LaBeouf conceded that he got his ass kicked.
Yeah. By 4chan. That's funny.
Yeah.
That is great.
I thought that was pretty fucking fantastic.
That is pretty good.
Job well done, 4chan. Yeah. Don't fuck with 4chan. Yeah. That's the key.
Yeah. Group of people with too much time on their hands. Yeah. Fucking with that.
They're
is
fucking
that's
awesome.
Ridiculous. That is great though. That's funny.
Makes me nervous to even talk about it. Yeah. I'm like saying that.
Yeah. I'm not saying he won't divide us because he might divide us.
Yeah. Right.
Just saying.
But that's pretty legit. Yeah.
Yeah. That is funny.
So,
Hot sack winner.
We did post another Techo selfie round two. Nervously.
Wait a minute. I have music. Music for the intro. No, go ahead.
It's going to start now?
No, I don't have any music.
Well, it could happen later.
Usually, like a corny podcast, they put music in front of their like, news, get the news.
Song right here. Yeah. And cut. No, Techo winner of the week. Lots of people posted inappropriate pictures. Jeffrey, again, last week's winner, was completely naked in a basement, and he constructed a Viking helmet, what looked to be
impressive. I was impressed.
Very impressive. Yeah.
I don't know what was holding on the football Techo cloth.
His boyfriend was hiding behind him.
Holding it, with, just pinching it with his fingers.
Very face, skinny boyfriend.
Face in his cheeks.
Yeah.
So you can't win twice, sir, but damn, you might have had you not won the week before for that one. So valiant effort. At least you're famous amongst us.
He's going to be mad because we didn't tell him he can't win twice.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Oh, well. Suck it.
You can win twice. It just can't be twice in like a certain time
period. You won in our hearts.
An undefined time period that we decide at some random point, not right now.
In our hearts, you won. You won our hearts.
Kyle Fisher made us all laugh really hard. He had... an El Yucateco bottle with a drawn on crude, like Jeopardy style pencil green wiener aimed at spicy ketchup that was laying down. And it said, "Suck my pepper. You like that, right?" Something to that
pretty
effect.
Pretty good.
We laughed.
Except he doesn't follow rules. He's an idiot.
It's not a selfie. It's not a selfie. It was funny as fuck on a make me laugh.
Yeah.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner on that one. We picked Felicia Pittman, for blocking her hoo-ha with a bottle of Triple X. It was very provocative and
It was a good picture.
Yeah, it's a good picture. It looks like something from a commercial or something.
And all the titty and all the titty pictures, everybody put a bottle between their titties, commented their comment on another person's comment that commented on a comment.
In the wrong spot.
Couldn't find it.
I didn't dig for it's it. I found out about after we picked the winner. You're supposed to post it. The whole point is to put it on our public Facebook under the Techo post. Yep.
And but share.
All of those
and
have,
share.
Yeah, and share. And
you have to share the post, yeah.
Yeah, and so Felicia shared and did it, and those ones were we couldn't pick it. They're nice and all, but they were hiding under the wrong spot. So that's our Techo winner. Congratulations to Felicia Pittman. Yeah. I will be sending you a big fat hot sack.
Music cue now. Yeah.
So it'll be coming in the mail.
Got it.
That's it.
That was good music.
Yeah.
Very inspirational.
All right, back from our music break.
Yeah.
Now we have some whiskey that was given to us quite some time ago, but we have a cue, and it's finally his turn. Brandon Enox, is it X silent or something? I don't know. Brandon Enox and Nate Miller bought us a bottle of Eagle Rare Kentucky Straight Bourbon. I've never seen it. It's a pretty bottle. It looks like whiskey and wine had sex.
It's a wine bottle. It's very much a wine bottle.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why we don't pour all this before the show starts.
Why would we? We like to drag out the beginning.
Because I already had whiskey in my glass.
I like to drag out the beginning like 15 minutes so that people complain about it.
I was drinking the Josh Haney and we can clink.
We can weed out our fans.
That's right. The true
you don't want to hear about what we're doing? Then fuck off. Like, we don't really care. Shit. Who needs a cork?
You sometimes, man.
Maybe.
So what's it called?
That is Eagle Rare.
Eagle Rare.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't we clink beforehand? Did you guys die? You're good?
Why'd you wait?
Because I always wait. Make
sure you don't... See if there's
poison? Yeah, if you die.
That's smooth as fuck.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Good. I went down.
That little spicy.
A little spicy, I was going to say.
A little bit.
Not a lot.
Barely.
But it's good.
No, it's very...
That's good,
man. The last couple we've had, that Burnside's super good. That Eagle Rare's super good.
This one's actually, the Burnside and this right now.
That's a cork. Burnside's got a twisty cap, but it's still really good. I'm not judging.
Yeah, the one with the twisty cap. Yeah, I can't judge a book by its cover anymore because that one's really good.
Thank you, Brandon Enox and Nate Miller. That is legitimate whiskey, and I'm actually gonna
pour another glass. Yeah.
Dang. Uh-oh, we're in trouble, man. When Brad drinks, he drinks, and when he pours a glass, he pours a glass. It's not two fingers over there, man. It'll just be on your
being
beard.
Conservative.
If I see it in your beard, I know we're in trouble.
No, I do recommend it. Eagle Rare. I will have to look for it. That is a very nice.
Yeah, it's good. I'll look for it. It's right here.
Can't take it home, though.
Dave hates bourbon, but he likes this one.
Yeah, I hate bourbon, except all the ones that we've ever tried down here that are delicious.
Except everyone you ever tried.
Oh, man, that was good. I'm choked on my own laugh.
Okay, so our topic du jour.
Hold on, I got intro music.
Okay.
Right. Why are you doing
that? That was nice. I like
musical
that.
Break.
Very dramatic. Right. the funny thing is,
while
recording, I have no knowledge of whether or not there's actually going to be music there, which makes it even funner.
Fuck no, there's no music there. I was going to say, because I everybody always asks me, like, what podcast do you listen to? And I'm like, none. I don't listen to any podcast. Do you listen to this podcast? Nope, don't listen to it. So on this particular topic, I was driving, so I needed to listen to something. So I found some podcasts that had this guy's interview or some interviews. Mm-hmm. I listened to like three of them. And the fucking music, intro, news, like the shit. I was just like, I watched some horrible YouTube videos last night.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with the UFO community. Like, they have no sense of editing skills.
Yeah. No.
It's like a doctor trying to talk to a patient. Sorry, sir, you're dying. It's like, wow, I'm dying. Yeah, you're going to die. Yeah,
all the interviews were like, it was like this triumphant thing that he had overcome, like, trauma. And he is now, I don't know, it was really weird. Their picks and music are strange.
Yeah. So I that's what that's all about. I'm just...
Let's find some music and put it in there.
No.
Let's end the show with the worst fucking music ever.
I always end the show with the worst music
ever. Yeah, that's right.
People hate it.
And I'm also curious if anybody else has had... I've had people telling me that there is some strange phenomenon where people are turning on their Spotify and the first song that loads is some rap song that ends up having like Sofa King podcast.
Someone posted this morning that they tried to play the Sofa King podcast, and every time it's a Bluetooth thing. When they try to get in their car to play Sofa King podcast, the first thing that happens every time is Madonna.
Yeah.
Like a prayer or something comes on every fucking time they took a picture of it. So it's similar to the other one that Spotify was coming from.
Our podcast has become self-aware.
It tries to resume and it just doesn't work out.
Our podcast is an AI.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting smarter.
Yeah. Soon it will nuke you.
Yeah.
So.
Terrorist threat, man.
Travis Walton. The Travis Walton incident is pretty much the most famous and the most well-documented, the most witnessed UFO encounter and or alien abduction in the United States history.
Like, I was super into it when the movie came out. Like, I really dug it.
Yeah. So in 93, a movie came out called Fire in the Sky. And it was roughly based on a true story, but the producers even admit that the original screenplay was allegedly very accurate, but the filming people thought that it was too stereotypical
and too dry.
Like, it was a stereotypical story of, oh, you got hit by a beam of light and there was blah, blah. But the reason it's stereotypical is because everyone was basing it off of this account. So when they were filming it, they had to like spice it up and change a bunch of stuff to make it more dramatic, even though this was when you think of a stereotypical alien abduction, this is why you think of it, because this
you can't just shoot the bad guy. You got to do like backflips while you shoot the bad guy and roll over the hood of a car.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it makes that's it way right. better. Cops don't do that shit. They don't hold their gun sideways.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So, but
no.
It looks cooler in the movies.
Except the cool cops.
There's expectations. Yeah. I don't think any cops do that.
There's a fucking cool cop that aims at
I bet there's
explosive and athletic cops. Yeah. Might do
that. And then when they're done, they're like,
yeah.
Right when they finish.
there's one cop out there who's doing it. Yeah.
Hey, me and Brad practiced whatever my Tyrone's going to be. I got close to it. I'm not trying to right now because I'm going to choke myself out. But we did find the spot on my neck where the buttons are. We found the buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah, the black guy buttons.
Nice.
But they're really close to some main arteries, and I last about 20 seconds.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, and I start fading out. I choked myself out, man.
So do I have white guy buttons?
I don't know. You Tyrone's cousin. Weren't you Tyrone's cousin?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
They don't even know their names anymore.
So Travis Walton, and the movie that we keep, I don't think we've mentioned the name of the movie yet. The movie, did we mention the name?
No, I don't think so.
Fire in the Sky.
Right.
You said that.
So it's an alien abduction movie, came out as a response to Communion coming out, because Communion came out right before Fire in the Sky did, and they wanted another sort of, you know, allegedly true abduction story, but they came out a bit in the 90s. But
have you seen Fire in the Sky?
Yeah.
Are those the depiction of an extraterrestrial in that movie scare you?
No.
No, that's not the right one, huh? I don't get it. They're not. No.
They look different.
They don't look menacing, really, though. You like the plain-faced.
I don't. Gray. Yeah, I know. I don't like
them. Or you don't like the one you dislike.
I don't like them at all.
You like them.
It's a plain face, bland, emotion.
The grays.
Their eyes do grays, all the talking.
Yeah. The gray, that's the one that raped you?
Right.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, so I have a really hard time watching Communion because that's what is represented there. But like most movies, they make them look all angry and menacing, and that's not. No, they're just.
These ones are scarier. They're not menacing.
You don't. The scary ones don't scare.
Scary ones don't scare me.
Yeah, because those ones aren't real. They're not like that.
No,
they're not like that.
The barking dog doesn't bite.
right. So okay, I figured we could go over the alleged tale of what happened to him and his crew in the woods, and then talk about the crew, and then. Talk about the specifics of the abduction itself. So the and a lot of groups, a lot like MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, not that they have a lot of credibility, but the National Enquirer, like a bunch of people who looked into stories like this at the time were all saying this was
the National Enquirer
best case.
Itself, obviously we don't believe because they say there's like fucking midget bullshit. Aliens fucking the president. But the reporters that are involved with it do give some accounts and some of the stuff to talk about their
and in 75 the
it.
National Enquirer wasn't the shit show that it turned into by the 80s when they were tracing Bigfoot's love baby and all that stuff. But I mean, they were still looking for sensational stories. It's not really reliable journalism, but like
they proved he wears pants.
Right.
Yeah.
So MUFON has done tons of investigations and they're pretty much the number one UFO group out there. And the thing I like about MUFON investigations is it's largely populated by skeptics and their job is to go out and say, dude, that was a fucking helicopter and you were drunk. Yep. That was not a fucking like they for the most part want to debunk everybody. And when they do find a case that they're like, huh, I don't know. That one was kind of crazy.
Yeah. They have a tendency to not dwell on something. They just generally move on.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly
to the next topic.
That's what they do.
but they said this is one of the best cases that they've ever investigated. All the facts were lining up, et cetera. So anyway, November 5th, 1975, Travis Walton was working on a lumbering crew in the Sitgreaves National Forest near Snowflake, Arizona. Okay, so Arizona wildlands. And I had a different picture of a national forest in my head until I saw a video. I saw a video of Travis Walton himself returned to the exact spot.
Yeah, talking about National Geographic did a thing on it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Because this one was with a smaller UFO group as part of a conference, and he went back for the first time. But it's not like some crazy densely, like I'm picturing like Oregon, like lumber yard woods where it's just like, but it's not. It's really kind of sparse trees, short pine trees, et cetera. But they still do a lot of yumber work.
That's what they call it there.
Yumber.
Yeah. They're clearing cactus. Yeah.
They do a lot of yumber work up there. But So the Sitgreaves National Forest, and they were on a thing called the Turkey Springs Tree Thinning Contract. So it ends up being a group of people. Their foreman was a guy named Mike Rogers, and he'd been running a thinning crew for 9 years, and their job was to thin the forest out to prevent forest fires. So they would go in, they would cut fire lines, they would stack up the wood, and then in the wet season, people would come in and burn the stacks of wood that they made to create fire breaks so that there wouldn't be massive fires.
Yeah.
So they weren't part of a traditional lumbering crew that's like chopping down big trees to sell. They were doing doing clear cutting for the National Forest Service to prevent forest fires.
They were actually, they were actually following one of those crews. So they were doing cleanup work.
Oh, so they were coming after.
They were coming after everything. Yeah. Okay. Cleaning up the area.
Okay.
Well, the first problem is though, all their attempts are futile because only you can prevent forest fires.
That's true.
They should have known that. They should have known that. Especially that time period.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that was prime Woodsy the Owl time period right there. That was 75.
Brad didn't get it. He's just a baby over there.
I get it. That's just California thing.
Maybe.
So the crew was Travis Walton, a guy named Alan Dallas, and John Goulette were all on saws. So their job was they were walking through chopping all the
chainsaws.
Shit down. And then Dwayne Smith, Kenneth Peterson, and Steve Pierce were in piling crews behind the cutter. So as they were going through and cutting the trees, the people behind them were coming up and stacking the wood. And again, the point was wait for the rainy season and then we'll burn all this stuff so it doesn't cause fires and we've got good.
It's fucking man work though. Like now they have these super cool ones that like pick up the tree, cut it, and it just slices it as it goes and stacks it. Those dudes are doing that shit by hand, carrying it. Even the little sticks and branches that get pulled off the logs, they're sticking in someone's fucking hands and piling it. Yeah.
So, and all, you know, and there's a lot of accounts of what was happening that day. Supposedly Dwayne Smith, who was following Travis Walton, kept coming too close to the falling trees. Like he was brand new at it and he didn't know what he was doing. So it kept like pissing off Travis Walton because he kept like getting too close to the falling trees. And apparently Walton and Alan Dallas, who was another tree cutter, had come close to getting in a fight recently, and he had cut one or two trees, Alan Dallas did, to have them fall close to Travis Walton, and then he would like laugh at him, just try to get a fucking rise.
That's what you do.
What you do.
Ha fucking ha. It'd be like the cartoons where it hits like the fucking Roadrunner or whatever.
Yeah.
Just nails him, Bugs Bunny or something, nails him in the ground.
So he kept trying to like make trees fall close to him to scare him. So then like Travis Walton's account was that he started walking farther away so that he wouldn't have to deal with him. So
it's like when you throw rocks at babies, like you don't want to hit the baby. You just want to throw it next to close. Him, be like, ha, you almost got hit, motherfucker. Yeah.
You make the stuff close to them, hit
close
them.
To them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If they get hit by anything, it's a fist.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you don't hit them with a rock. That's abuse. No. Yeah. that's the
key. Yeah. People don't know that.
No. So they end up logging until sunset. They would always shut down at 6 p.m. right when it was getting dark out. They load up the chainsaws. They load up the gas cans in the back of the truck. And at this point, I was even tripping because I was like, so you've got a bunch of fucking chainsaws, a bunch of gasoline, and seven motherfuckers in a truck? And then I saw a picture of the truck, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's cool.
It's like an international or something.
It was a Dodge.
Yeah.
It was a big-ass, little massive fucking truck. So I was like, yep, you got six people in there. So they end up starting to head back into town. And when they do, they start to notice that there's a light in the forest, right? There's nothing out there. They're the middle. There's no cabins. They're the middle of fucking nowhere in a national forest. And they see some weird light. And eventually they end up stopping because the driver, who was the foreman, Mike Rogers, he couldn't see it. And they had him stop at an angle so he could see it. And apparently one of them said that he thought it was a crashed airplane that was hanging in a tree because the light was very odd and they could still see a shape that was kind of hanging there.
They said it was emitting and reflecting light at the same time or something.
So, yeah, it was very strange.
But at this point, they couldn't see it yet. Yeah. That's when they get up on it. They say that the lights were flickering across the road and then that's where Travis jumps out of the truck.
So they pull up pretty close to it. And what they describe is,
they say about 100 yards off the road.
Yeah. They see a strange golden disc, which is hovering about 15 feet off the ground. They said that it looked like two pie pans placed lip to lip with a round bowl on the top.
I read 110 feet away. That's what it said. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Estimated diameter of 15 to 20 feet. They thought it was about 8 to 10 feet tall at the top. They said that the dome at the top was white as if it was lit up on the inside or something, but the whole thing was golden. And they were talking about a weird, like you said, a weird light, like light was just emanating from
they said,
it.
What did it look like? He said like a fire. That's where they got fire in the sky from.
Yeah, they said it was a soft yellow light and it came from the craft and kind of came from nowhere and was just everywhere bathing the area. And so this is all of them like swear that they saw this, like that they were lucid, they were sober.
Yeah, they weren't tired yet. They just finished doing vigorous like activity. Yeah, exactly. They're still amped up from
that. And that was what they talked about. They talked about the fact that like on the way to the site, they would all be half asleep and napping, but they were like, they've all talked in different interviews that on the way back into town, they're all so worked up and amped because they've been doing fucking hard labor and they're, you know, very talkative and so on the way back. So they're all awake, they're all sober. They show up and they see this disc floating there 15 feet in the sky, and everybody claims that they were obviously tripping balls. I don't think there's a more
someone yelled spaceship or flying saucer at one point.
I would
Travis jumps out. They said there was a feeling of like anticipation, like an expectation that something was about to happen. Like they said it was similar to like something charging up, or like a right before a lightning strike, like there was a static in the air, and they said there was a low frequency hum coupled with a high frequency hum that you could like
you
both
could feel
hear and feel. It was like it was on the low end of the human spectrum of hearing and the high end. They said it was like almost out of the spectrum on both ends at the same time.
They said it was like high piercing beeping noises. And they said that there were really low rumbling noises that sounded and felt like heavy machinery. And they were all emanating from the craft at the same time. So the sound was strange. The light was strange. Walton gets out of the truck and starts heading over there. And all of the other witnesses say that they tried to talk him out of it. No one else left the truck. No one else was going over there. They were telling him to get back in the truck. So he walks over there under the truck. And once he gets there, it starts to apparently wobble like a top. Like they were all saying that that the thing was like unbelievably smooth. You couldn't really tell where the surface was or if there were seams. There were no doors. There were no antennas. There were no protrusions. It was just this perfect disc. And that it started to wobble a little bit, which gave them the sense that it was spinning as Walton got closer. And then all of them account that there was some sort of a blue-green light that comes out of the bottom of the craft. And when the light comes out of the bottom of the craft, Walton gets thrown through the air 10 feet, lands on his shoulder, lands hard. And everybody says, fuck this, jumps in the truck and fucking drives off.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do other than become a victim? Like, you don't have guns with you. Are you going to chainsaw the fucking UFO?
What is a gun
going to
do?
Yeah, exactly. You can get the fuck out of there or have the same thing happen to you.
Right.
And I bet, like, if, you know, that'd be scary as fuck.
Yeah. So one of the witnesses said that when the light hit, he heard, actually a couple of them did. They said that they heard what they equated to like a loud zap, like someone hitting a live wire, that kind of a zap.
Well, this came out later because the one guy who said that later on became an electrician. And that's what he equated the sound to. So he was able to like later on in life be like, oh, that's what it sounds like. Electricity. Right. So
they take off in the truck. They floor it. They're driving as fast as they can, which isn't that fast because they're on a dirt road in the middle of the national forest. The dirt road is full of a bunch of like big, you know, bumps to stop flooding and so forth. So I guess they were like starting to drive so fast because they were all freaking out that they were fucking the truck up. Right. I guess the mirror got smashed in on a branch and they kept like bottoming out because they were like jumping over the berms so quickly. So they finally said, we have to fucking slow down or the truck's going to break. And Mike was freaking out and he kept asking if the thing was following them, and everybody said it wasn't. And they had driven apparently about a mile away and they stopped. And I read one account that said that they saw another truck and they tried to get help.
They saw some deer hunters.
Okay.
So they saw some deer hunters, and at that point they asked them like, hey, they were going to try and get guns or something, you know, like, which like it would do anything anyway.
Sure.
And then at that point, like they gathered, they figured out what, and they finally decided like, oh, we have to go back.
It came to their senses like, fuck, we just left our
We got to go back. Right. Yeah. We have to go back.
Right.
And so they said, if you're going to go get in the truck, if not, stand outside the truck and stay here and we'll come back.
Right. Yeah. Which both of those are scary as fuck.
Yeah.
Stay in the middle of the woods.
Nobody stayed behind is what was said.
Because I mean, you're going to have fight or flight. Right. Yeah. And I mean, if it's fucking six dudes, if you're all in the truck already and Mike just floored it, you're going along. Well, like, even if you're protesting.
I thought a couple didn't get in the truck. I can't remember.
I think they all did.
No, I think they all did.
From the movie, they don't. But I think Travis's accounts, account.
They all got
back. They all got back in. And one of the guys, Steve, he's only 17 years old, you know? So, I mean, you know, you have a range of ages, but the youngest guy is 17 years old.
Yeah.
So.
It was played by Elliot from E.T.
Yeah.
Actually, that was Elliot all grown up.
Yeah.
So they
he
end
only
up,
does alien movies.
Yeah, that's it,
how he
period.
Does. That's how he talks to in the movie. He's like, we have to get him. That's what it sounds like.
Travis Walker.
Yeah, Travis.
Although technically E.T. spoke that way.
Yeah, yeah. I know. But he, you know. He
they have that weird like symbiotic relationship.
That's right.
E.T. was him. Yeah.
Right. So they end up going back. They drive the mile back. They drive exactly back to the spot. And the craft is gone. Travis is gone. They have one flashlight in the truck. So they turn the headlights on right on the spot. They start looking around. They don't find any traces of blood. There's no fabric. There's no mic. There's no trail that he walked anywhere. They can't find Travis. Anything. Or sorry, Travis. There's no Travis.
I saw an interview with Mike and it was just like, they were like elbow locked, like do-si-do, square dance. So scared, grown ass men, like holding each other with one fucking flashlight all together. Cause no one wanted to be the last guy in line.
Well, they just murdered a guy.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
they just buried him.
What if you didn't kill him all the way and now he's mad?
Right. Exactly. So, they end up finally, getting back into town and at, they even said like one of them, as a witness at the spot was like, we have to go back into town and we have to tell the authorities because everybody's going to wonder where the fuck Travis went. Right. So they end up driving back to town. They report the scenario to the police. They call, his, and this is weird. This is a weird way. It starts to, you know, the whole, as if that wasn't weird, it starts to get weird because one of the people, Copeland and Rogers, two of the people who are on the crew, end up calling Walton's mom at 1:30 in the morning on the 6th. So they get back into town. That was on the 5th that happened. On the 6th, they get back in first thing in the morning, 1:30 in the morning. They call the mom.
That's after they go back and search with the sheriff.
After they've searched, they've done all this stuff. Yeah, they've looked. The sheriff.
And the sheriff said legitly, they look scared as fuck. Like they were like white faced. The 17-year-old kid was fucking crying.
Yeah.
Like they couldn't get themselves together. So it's not like.
Yeah, you just watched
your friends murder someone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So they were shitting their pants. They got the sheriff and they went up and just did another search that night, but then they came back and they called the mom and they said, we have really weird news to report to you. Like Travis got abducted by a UFO. And she said, quote, well, that's the way these things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
aliens were at her house.
Like, so, and she told them that both of their boys had seen UFOs their entire lives and that the two sons actually had a pact that said if one of them ever got abducted, they would insist that the aliens abduct the other one as well.
Yeah. And then the sheriff watched the mom call the sister at 3 a.m. and tell the sister. And she said, quote, well, a flying saucer got him, Travis. And the fucking sister was also calm about it. We're like, well, yeah, you know, that's how Ian's doing in the night, you know, down the forest like in the woods. Yeah, they do.
In Arizona. No.
Yeah, they talk just like that. No, the ones that live in the forest. Though. No. Ian's is always out there with the chainsaw.
No, I think you're mixing up our topics here.
Yeah.
That's Tennessee.
A little dash of Friday's topics.
Yeah.
That one's Elmer's glue and chiclets. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah. So, which again, very strange, even like the sheriff later on is like, that was a weird reaction.
Yeah.
And the witnesses that just saw this shit happen to like, some of them had known him like since grade school and were on the logging crew with him. And some of them had just worked with him fairly recently, but all of them are tripping balls. Like how, like his mom doesn't seem that worried about him being abducted by a fucking UFO, which is strange.
But she doesn't believe.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I thought he got drunk.
So they end up sending back another bigger search party, right? They have helicopters.
Yeah. It was search like 50, dogs. It was a 50 man search party. Mm-hmm. They had 4x4s, horsebacks. They had, four by fours were horseback.
And they were doing,
that's impressive.
They were doing the arm, like link your arms, arm in arm, like troll through the forest, and looking for anything, looking for blood, a scrap of clothing, tracks,
they had tracking dogs,
stamps.
Stamps.
Rare pop-up cabin. cabin. So
trails of Reese's Pieces.
Yeah. Anything that apparently they found one size 4 Ked print, but they ruled it out. It wasn't anything they were that worried about. But so they found nothing, right? Like full on professional search. They find nothing and they search for 5 days. And this is in November, like in the mountains in Arizona, and it's getting cold. It's dropping below zero at night. And they're starting to realize if he's out here, he's probably going to die very soon.
So we should just go back and get warm.
So fuck it. Let's go drink. But they did the search for 5 days. They kept looking, and they were starting to basically rule out the fact that he wasn't going to survive if he was lost in the woods. And then, so meanwhile, law enforcement is thinking, well,
maybe
he didn't get abducted. So what's really going on? Did they fucking kill him? Was he murdered? What the fuck?
It is a truck full of fucking working men with chainsaws. So,
right.
Yeah.
So the police instantly start suspecting that foul play had happened, as you do once the UFO gets mentioned, and they start to investigate it. And all of the people on the logging crew were like, ask us anything, put us on a lie detector test. Like, you do whatever you want to do to confirm our story is true, because this fucking shit happened, right? And they were like, even some of them said that like they didn't want to tell the truth because it was gonna, like, everyone was gonna think, oh, that's the fucking crazy guy that believes in UFOs now.
Right. Yeah.
Like they're ruining their own reputations by putting this crazy story forward, but they're like, this is exactly what fucking happened.
And you can't run for mayor of Snowflake.
If you got a record like that, you can't be mayor of Snowflake.
Well, you can be mayor of Crazy Town, though.
That's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is only 10 miles down the road. Yeah.
It's not far.
They got great pancakes there.
And people start looking at the fact again, the fact that Dallas guy had been fighting with Walton, and he was chopping those trees down to fall in front of his path. And they thought maybe they had a bigger beef than anyone realized.
He's banging Mike Rogers' sister.
He was like, he was like a prime suspect of having killed Walton. Then another theory that they had was that for some reason, all of them, like maybe he died by accident and all of them were involved. So they tried to cover it up at the last minute. So the police start throwing all these different theories out there. And since in their initial questioning, all of them said they were willing to undergo anything to determine their truthfulness. After the end of the second day of searching, law enforcement brought in a guy named Cy Gilson, who was a polygraph examiner for the Department of Public Safety, which did all the polygraph groups for the state police, to test all of the logging crew. Five of the witnesses passed the polygraph examination as truthful. And then Dallas was ruled as inconclusive, but not ruled as deceitful.
Yeah.
One thing that even aside from the polygraph, like the interrogators throughout this and later on were saying, I've never seen this many people have the same exact story if it wasn't true.
Yeah.
Like the cops were saying, if you get three people who are covering something up and you grill them, something's different. And you ask them to tell the story the fifth time and they leave out details. Yeah. But the cops and the polygraph people were like, all of them were in, like, they said, we've never seen any group try to cover something up and have a story that was so exact and so perfect.
There was some skepticism on the polygraph later, though. Mm-hmm. They said that Mike Rogers was allowed to dictate the questions that they were to be asked. And I guess that's a huge no-no, obviously. Say, like, you can ask us these questions, not these. So they had to come to an agreement. And the polygraph expert wasn't as experienced as most. So it was later reviewed by, like, an industry, like, fucking professional, you know, an expert in the field. Mm-hmm. And he said, looking at the polygraphs later, he could neither confirm nor deny. He said he couldn't make a decision. And he definitely wouldn't make a decision whether or not they were deceitful or truthful based on the fact that they were allowed to dictate the questions that they were asked.
Well, only one guy was. Though, so you would think that even if that guy dictated the questions, the other ones still, you know, you wouldn't have that.
Yeah, but he gave the outline for the general. They were all asked the same questions. There was like three questions about something and three questions about something else. They said no to the first three, yes to the next three. But he picked those questions for all of them to answer. And they'd all corroborated their stories and said, let's keep to our shit. We say this, this, and this, you know, for the hours leading up to the polygraph.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, polygraphs are flawed.
Yeah.
I mean, my oldest sister, Lisa, who taught me how to shoplift when I was young.
Scientology is basically based off
she worked for a police department in Ocala, Florida, and before she could work there, they put her on a polygraph test, and one of the questions was, have you ever committed a crime or shoplifted? And she was like, nope.
They just keep fucking
straight through the test. I mean, she just fucking
if you're a good liar.
Lied her way through the polygraph test.
She put Icy Hot on her vag, man. That's how you get past that shit.
I think that would raise some questions.
Unless your badge always burns.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, unless you got the hot piece.
So anyway, I don't trust polygraphs in and of themselves, but I trust more the accounts of the police officers who say, like what I said, like to get six people to have a story that is this consistent with no flaws, with no hiccups, with no, you know, shifting of details. Like they were all like,
and the only one that was like, deceitful in the test was the bad guy. Anyway, he was already like criminal past.
Well,
he wasn't
deceitful. He got pissed off and left in the middle of the polygraph test. So it was inconclusive because they asked the same questions three times. And I guess he got through the second one and then said, hey, fuck you guy, and walked out.
Right.
So the polygraph tester had to rule it inconclusive. But later on, they said that looking at his test that he did take, he wasn't lying. So that's what was told to, you know, behind the scenes, basically.
Yeah.
Which interesting, you know.
No, it's interesting. It's a very interesting case. I mean, for sure. I mean, I'm not even 100% on board that they saw a fucking alien vessel, but like the very strong evidence that they all did see this thing and some fucking shit happened. Yeah. I mean, it's a very strange case. It's pretty much the strongest case that's out there. And I buy all of what we've talked about up until now. I buy as okay, this probably happened.
Right.
Like I'm on board with this they side of the story. Like they saw something, they all saw the same thing. I know that you can have mass hallucinations. I know that they might have seen who knows what, and on the way back in the truck, they could have talked themselves into thinking it was a disc, and they were so traumatized by what they saw that now their memory remembered a disc. Where I mean, there's a lot of circumstances like that, but they all saw fucking something.
There's even accusations that Mike Rogers might have rigged stuff up in the trees, like hunter lights or something, like hunting lights of some sort, because their actual response to one of the lumberjack guys was that it looked like something a hunter set up so he could see. He said, I couldn't see the size.
Yeah, but that's what they would relate it to. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's what they're, but the other thing was that I just forgot. So go ahead.
Because that was important.
It was.
That was one of the strongest.
But my point was to that is if Mike Rogers hoaxed it, he has to make the polygraph pass, but everyone else is like, no, I fucking saw that. No, that's shit. True. You know what I mean?
I remember what I was going to say. Keep in mind, this is right on the edge of an Apache reservation also.
Mm-hmm.
So, might have been mad Indian spirit.
Firebull. Yeah, was there floating.
He's still
in the
mad
sky.
At the Mexicans, man.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, no, it was this did run along the Apache reservation line.
Yeah.
So they could have, the
drink,
Apaches
could have drank peyote and they're in the spirit world, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, might have spirit happened. World, man.
So, 5 days go by, and they end up finally getting a phone call. I believe it's Walton's sister gets the phone call.
Yeah, so he lands. He shows up at a payphone booth right outside of a town near where he was taken
30 miles away.
A town called
30 miles
Heber.
From Snowflake.
Yeah,
but he's close to the reservation. The place that he was supposedly abducted.
Right. So he calls from Exxon station, calls his sister's house, and he talks to his brother-in-law Grant, who says, I'm come, like, and at first he's being a dick and he's like, fuck you, because there's a lot of media presence. Yeah. They've been getting crank phone calls and so
and
forth.
He's like, and dude, then, if you got abducted, you're supposed to tell me.
Right.
At that point, they probably think he's dead. It's been 5 days. Yeah. It's fucking sub-zero fucking temperatures.
So
out
he
there.
Thinks this is like a joke call. Yeah. And then when his brother-in-law finally realizes it's actually him, he's like, oh fuck, we'll be right there. But not that oh fuck, because apparently he stopped and got his brother and talked to his mom and then went and picked him up.
I got a Kit Kat. Man. Yeah. A Kit Kat and Red Bull.
Taco
I'm
Bell.
On the way.
Like we're getting there. Yeah. Trust me.
Gotta get me a root beer.
I gotta get me a latte first.
Yeah. Starbucks. Starbucks is on the way. I mean, it was on the way.
It's right there.
Yeah.
It's right
there. Well, we didn't get you one. We ran out of money. Okay. We didn't get you one.
So
we figured you were dehydrated. You didn't need a coffee.
Got you a chicken tarragon sandwich and a new Bieber CD, man. Brand new Justin Bieber just released, man.
So they get there and he tells his story, which we can rewind to because it's a radically different story than the story of the people in the truck. So this story,
well, it's not different. It's just the account where he's gone.
Yeah. It's the account where he's gone and there's no other witnesses. So this is his version of the story, and you can find, he has a version of this story posted on his website. Travis Walton does tons of interviews about him. He's like a huge UFO celebrity. So he goes to conferences and talks about it, et cetera.
His haircut's getting really weird.
It is getting weird. And it's
getting
rough.
Real tall.
Did you guys read his actual account?
Nope. He's got the Frankenberries.
I listened to him.
He looks like the front of the Frankenberries. Yeah. That's his haircut.
It's like the worst science fiction.
Yeah.
It's just like so poorly written.
Let's let's go through this.
But we'll get through. But the facts are diluted here.
Hang tight, people.
So here is his claim of what happened here. So he wakes up. He's in pain. He says that his body is badly burned, even on the insides. And he's groggy. He says that he feels like he's completely exhausted, but he feels like it's sort of drug induced. He can hardly get his eyelids open. He can barely move his body. He's completely zonked out and he's laying on a medical table.
He needs some peanut butter, man.
He does need some peanut butter.
He makes it real clear that it's hard for him to breathe.
That's how I feel in the middle of the night, for the record. My eyes barely open and shit until I get the peanut butter, then I'm good.
Yeah.
So is that how you feel? So once you get the peanut butter, you're awake and ready to fight aliens.
Are you sure it's peanut butter?
I'm pretty sure.
Or is it man butter?
The level has gotten a lot lower. My man butter jar is full of it, man.
I'm wondering if you're just getting abducted every night and
they're maybe. That's
on the way back, you're picking up some peanut butter to refill your electrolytes.
You're like the aliens comedy act.
Pick
you up and they're like, this fucking idiot.
Every time we anal probe him, we drop him back in the house. Watch, I swear to God, he's going to eat peanut butter. Swear to God.
Conditioned response. It's because they gave me peanut butter every time they probe me. Yeah. And now I'm like, why am I hungry for peanut butter?
Watch.
And my butt's sore.
Just stick it in real quick, drop him back at the house. He's going to eat peanut butter.
You know what happens a lot, though? I check Facebook, like the fucking fan group, and people will say something about like, don't forget some peanut butter. You probably got peanut butter in a new shirt, some shit. And I'm like, I just fucking ate peanut butter. Like, they're calling this shit. I'm like, I literally just did
lead a very simple life.
Fuck
pigeons and eat peanut butter.
So he claims that he's laying on a table in a ton of pain, totally fucking looped out on drugs. He says there's a rectangle that's about 3.5 feet above him that is illuminating light. And he says the air is very heavy and humid.
Like the rectangle that's illuminating light. Could it be a light?
It could be a light.
Okay. He described the light as weird, though.
He said it was weird. He said it was kind of like the ship itself. Like, it was hard to tell where the metal was and where the light was. And
he said it was so dim that it would be hard to read by that light. Yeah. That was the level of light was there,
would have been pissed.
To the alien's giant eyes, I think. Right. He's trying to create conditions for that.
So hot and humid, heavy, stifling air. It was like the air was muggy and stale, he said. He did a really horrible job describing this device that was curved across his body. Mm-hmm. Some like metal device that was 4 to 5 inches thick and went from his armpits to just above his belt. But he never realized.
Sounds like a stainless steel double-sided dildo.
Perhaps.
I think it was one of those as seen on TV fucking shock belts that gives you a six pack. I'm pretty sure.
That's what the aliens were doing.
That was the high pitched sound.
I think you just unveiled the best conspiracy theory ever that the aliens only abduct people to test out as seen on TV merchandise.
Was Suzanne Summers in there, man?
Exactly.
She came up with the thigh masters.
We abduct you to the ship, give you an anal probe, and then make you hold the curling bars that shake and see if you'll buy
the shake
them.
Weights.
And then once we see, these abducted humans love the Snuggie. We should start selling this on late night television.
Yeah, that's how they fund it.
That's exactly right.
So you're saying that late night QVC TV hosts are aliens?
I'm not saying they are aliens. I suspect they're probably unknowing humans, but I suspect the people that created the product are aliens that are selling it through Q.
Because, what are Snuggies made out of? We don't even know.
We don't even know.
No, there's nothing on Earth like it.
No. There's nothing comfortable.
Yeah.
No.
Like
yeah.
That's created. I think nothing in a created in a gravity well like Illyrium, like the Illyrium element. It can only be created that comfortably in a zero gravity
that's
environment.
True. I believe
that's
you.
How they get the fibers so soft.
That's yeah. right.
Yeah. They kidnap the Lorax.
Yeah. The little snuggle bear ain't getting that soft. Yeah. I agree.
So I think we're onto something.
Yeah.
So next time you buy something,
we need a name for our universe where all this.
That's where the Men in Black go. Like every time you see the Men in Black, they're always going to the As Seen on TV store.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the strip mall, As Seen on TV store, Men in Black coming out of it.
I think like, they're the distributors. Like, yeah. They're the ones.
That's, yeah. Something's going on.
They needed the bacon basket weaver, man.
Yeah.
So, see, and they created it.
And the unkinkable hose.
Yeah.
They're only abducting people.
Who could have come up with the unkinkable hose?
Exactly.
But aliens.
Who can come up with a fucking can of shit that you spray on a screen door to turn into a boat?
Yeah.
Aliens.
Yep. Yep.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yep. Who would have came up with that? No. Nope. Not American.
Not a human mind.
No.
I'm telling you that right now.
Anti-gravity. Zero gravity creations.
Yep. So anyway, these aliens were doing, so they put the shock belt on him to see if it developed his abs.
Yeah.
He wakes up in the middle of it and he says that because he's still groggy, he sees that he's surrounded by three doctors with white masks on and that they're wearing really weird orange gowns.
They're prisoners.
After a while, he realizes that the doctor that's looking over him isn't human. He describes something similar to a gray alien, but not really a gray alien.
He thought they were wearing a mask and a hat, like surgical at first, because he could see the white and then the dark spot.
Right. But it was, so he says that it had like really huge brown eyes, like maybe twice the size of human eyes. He freaks out and he reaches up and he grabs the thing's arm. And he says that when he grabs it, it feels like an arm that was entirely covered in fat and not covered at all in muscle.
They weren't using the ab belt, man.
Exactly. That's why they were developing it.
That's why
they were developing it. They spent too much time with their microwave bacon creations and all their muscles deteriorated.
Yep.
So he ends up sitting up and he like gives a pretty thorough description of them. Their clothing has no visible seams or zippers. They have pinkish tan footwear. He thinks that they have size 4 feet.
He said they look like highly developed fetuses.
Yes.
Yeah, like if fetuses grew up and stayed fetus-like, that's what they looked like.
They had no fingernails. Their skin was completely smooth and unwrinkled. There was no hair. Their heads were too large for their bodies. Oversized cranium, narrow jaw, thin lips, very small nostrils, pale white skin. The descriptions are similar to a gray alien, but they're not the same as a typical gray alien description. He ends up staggering off the table and knocks the ab shocker off and it falls to the ground. He ends up moving towards some medical equipment to grab some of it as a weapon, but everything he picks up, he said, was too lightweight to use as a weapon.
Hold on a second. How does he know it's medical equipment when he just had the ab shocker on? He's in a weight room.
That's true. It could have been anything.
Yeah, he's in an exercise room.
It was a foam roller. That's why it didn't hurt.
Yeah, so he grabs a foam yoga roller.
He was laying on a yoga mat. Yeah.
But he tried to grab stuff, but he said all of it was too lightweight to use as a weapon. So he ended up grabbing some medical thing that he broke so he might be able to stab him with, and that they were all just walking towards him with their arms out calmly. And then once he broke the thing and had a weapon, they all just turned around and walked out of the room.
Yeah. Like, they were like, fuck this guy.
No one said anything. Yeah. No one did shit. They were like, oh, he's got a sharp stick. Let's leave the human here. They all turn around. They walk out of the room, leave the door open. And he's just chilling there, holding a sharp stick.
Right.
And all the aliens just left. Right.
Yeah.
So according to his next account, he walks out and there's a hallway. And he realizes he's not in the, he can't be in the same craft because this is much, much larger. The first room he was in was about the size of the craft that he saw.
He does describe the corridors as so curved, though, that he can't really see what's behind him or ahead of him.
Right.
So instill this fear in him of like, fuck, is something chasing me? Right. I might be running into something.
Yeah, exactly.
But I have to run.
Right.
So I have to give it to him. If he makes that story up, that was pretty good because it could have been a circular craft.
Right.
And he described that in such detail that it made me think like, fuck, that would be scary. You have to run. But you don't know what's behind you, what's in front of you. It's that curved.
Yeah. So he ends up moving up the hallway. He ends up finding a door that's open and he goes in and he says there's a long room that had a screen, like a large screen covered in stars. So like there was nothing.
Somewhat of a projection of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is back in the day though, before there was, other than like the fucking drive-in movie theater at that point.
There wasn't anything like that,
like a CRT TV. So even to conceptualize something like that, it would be something out of sci-fi.
Right. Yeah. Right. So he ends up, there's a chair in the room. And he says there's a panel on the side that he guessed had about 20 to 25 buttons. And that on the other side, there was some sort of a toggle stick, like a joystick.
That was right? Atari.
Yeah, that was his Atari. So he sits down and plays Pong, a little bit of Yar's Revenge.
Frogger.
All the classics. Yeah. And then he starts pushing the buttons. But he hit one button.
You would have thought it'd be Space Invaders.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. No. Yeah. He hit one button and it switched over to, like, he said that the lines all moved on the screen and something else slightly different appeared on the screen.
It sounded like he was describing like a graphic equalizer. He said it was like green and black. And when he would mess with the buttons, he could get the lines to change like up and or down. But he said he saw nothing that looked like letters or writing of any sort. And it wasn't really doing anything. His whole goal was like, maybe there's a door in here. He just kept saying he thought maybe he could get a door to open and he'd fucking jump out.
I think it was a graphic
into
equalizer.
Space.
I think that seat was where the makes DJ sense. Sat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like they told the DJ to fucking peace out because there's a crazy human with a sharp stick. So like the entire dance floor in the UFO, he was like hitting buttons and like remixing. And they were like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Like DJ Anal Buttons, Probe though, is I'm really like, off his game tonight. Like, I don't know what's going on.
He did in an interview now describe it as something similar to a Kindle. I'd be really curious to see super early interviews versus now, you know, and see
to
if he still
how
had
he
that. Because toggles is like real 70s switchy, like. You know what I mean? Like toggle switches or like he said a lever, you know, I don't know. I think they would have touch interface or their big.
Well, no, the only thing was the lever, like the joystick toggle switch
and 20
lever
or 30 buttons.
And then the buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That sounds old school. That's like Star Trek thinking.
So does an operating table.
Yeah.
And a fucking, you know.
Right. I mean, so he grabs the joystick and starts moving it. And he said that the star screen starts to move very rapidly.
To the point that it disoriented him because it was above and below him or something.
Right.
It was so large. Yeah.
So,
Patrick Stewart showed up.
Exactly. He said engage, gave him a Vulcan nerve pinch and walked out of the room. But no, actually a human came in wearing a blue skin tight jumpsuit.
Well, human looking.
It sounded like a Power Ranger.
Right.
What it sounded like.
It sounded in the alien literature. What it actually sounded like is what they would call a Swede. Right. He was like six and a half foot tall, long blonde hair, good looking
Fabio,
buffed out, skin tight blue suit. Like there is a brand of alien that they call Swedes that are super tall, super muscular, lean, blonde, etc. They don't really speak in most accounts.
So they go, come with me. Stop messing with the EQ. Yeah. You know,
oh, Gunter, you can come here.
Why are you pressing the button?
Get the DJ.
Yeah.
So the Swede comes in.
Dude, Brad's beat behind that is so much better. This is my Swede impression was weak.
Well, it was German, basically.
Yeah.
So the Swede comes in.
I pictured
in.
Long blonde hair while I was saying it, so that helps.
Right, right.
But you can see
you have to understand.
Yeah. And he even had like a helmet on as if he couldn't breathe the atmosphere or something.
Yeah, a glass globe.
Yeah, a glass globe on his head.
Like he was a fucking, what are the shaky globes? Snow globe. Yeah.
Well, that was.
He was like a Power Ranger had sex with a Teletubby.
Well, that was outer space club fashion at the time.
Mm-hmm. That's
like
true.
In 75, everybody in outer space clubs, tight blue jumpsuits, fishbowl head. Like that was what you did.
Yeah. Right? SpongeBob, same thing. Sandy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the bell bottom. Exactly. Yeah. Sandy. Yeah.
So he ends up saying nothing. Like he starts screaming all these questions at the guy, et cetera. The guy just keeps staring at him and turns around and walks out. So Walton follows him up the hall and he leads him to.
These aliens like walking out on people.
Yeah, they just That's fucking
sure.
peace. Like,
yeah.
So he walks out, Walton follows him, keeps asking him questions. The guy won't talk. They walk into a larger room that's full of floating discs that are even larger than the one that he saw in the woods, which he thinks is some sort of a hangar or something.
So hangar-like, he was still undecided as to whether or not it was another vehicle of some sort that he was in.
Right.
Just a larger one.
But he walks him over to a table where there's two women and one more male fishbowl heads, blue suits, Swedes, very attractive, very tall, very muscular, very, you know, very, very built and very attractive.
Well, it's because they were using the fucking ab machine.
That's exactly right.
They have a gym in there. Like, why not be fit?
Yeah. I mean, they already had the shake weights and they didn't drop those on Earth until like 2015.
All they do is dance techno and wear ab belts.
And use shake weights.
Yeah. I mean, fucking calves are just defined.
Exactly. Yeah. So they, he doesn't resist. you fucked Brent up.
I've never got the giggles on here before. I'm the giggles.
So the one walks him over to the other two, the other three. The other three stand up. So now there's two human females, one human male, and Walton. And they
can we get to this? Can we get the dance floor?
So they all stand up. They walk over and start pawing on him. And they just like grab him and walk him over to a table.
Yeah.
And he says that oddly enough, he didn't resist. They lay him down. One of them pulls off what looks like a plastic, like a anesthesia mask that you would put on, but instead of connected to like the only thing it was connected to was a black sphere at the end, on the other side of it.
At one point he was screaming in their face.
Yeah, he was talking to him. He was screaming at him. What the hell is going on? They just kept staring at him and put their hands on him and walked him over. No, he said they had ears. Cause he specifically described the like crazy crinkled lack of ears on the pale fleshy things, but these were really attractive. But anyway, they take him, they lay him down on the table, they put this thing on his face. He feels blackness fall over him again, and he wakes up.
There was no odor. It wasn't like a gas.
Right, nothing. Yeah. There was nothing he smelled. He wakes up, and there's a he's laying in the woods or laying on a road, like again, in that town near a 76 station. He said that he saw a disc when he woke up. There was a disc still in the sky with light above him, and it took off. He said it was so fast that he was waiting to hear the sound barrier break, but nothing happened. It just vanished, like took off super fast. And he woke up, he staggered over to a 76 station, but it was closed. He staggered over to the Exxon station on the other side of a bridge. It was closed as well. But there was a payphone, so he called his sister's house collect, and this was when they came and picked him up. So that's his version of what happened.
There should be like an operator recording.
Well, when they picked him up,
the phone company was listening to the call.
Yeah, but was there a recording? I wonder if they recorded collect calls like that.
But when they picked him up, he was like tripping out and he was like, you'll never believe what happened, blah, blah, blah. And he had no idea 5 days had passed. He wouldn't believe them when they were saying five days.
He thought
days
it was the
passed.
Same night until he felt the stubble on his face.
They told him.
They told him,
like, feel your face. You have a fucking beard. Yeah. And like, I wouldn't. Like, if it was 5 days ago, I'd be like, no.
Yeah. Nope. Same day.
Still good. Like,
He said the date on his watch was 5 days later.
Right. Like, so he was like, oh, shit, I have been gone 5 days. And he didn't remember 5 days, obviously, just the events that we discussed. Described, which seemed to have happened rather quickly.
Yeah, but he could have been asleep. He woke up.
Right.
You know.
Right. So that's the actual tale itself, right? And at that point, obviously, the police dropped all charges. No one knows what the fuck. And there's a whole lot of evidence for and against what happened. So a lot of the big evidence, like we've said so far, the evidence pushing towards some of this being true was the fact that out of that really comprehensive search, there was no physical trace of Travis at all in the woods. They found the footprints up to where his body was.
The dogs up to the road and up to the logs that he kind of hid behind when the craft was taken off or whatever it was doing. That's where everything stopped.
Yep.
Nothing from him was left in that location.
If he would have walked, I mean, the dogs had his scent flat out, and the dogs were just like, they lost his scent right where he allegedly fell.
Old Spice.
Which even the cops thought was odd, because you really can't fool fucking sniffer dogs. Repeated police interviews and regular interviews of everyone that was there. No one has found the significant shifts in six people concocting a lie and making this up at the same time.
Yeah.
There none of those inconsistencies exist according to everybody who's looked at the records.
And still to this day, for a long time, the youngest one, Stevie, wouldn't come forward.
Right.
Travis actually said he was pissed off at him for a long time because he kept saying he was crying and he didn't want to admit that. And right. so like right. after he wrote the book, Fire in the Sky, I guess Steve wanted to fight him. So he came to his house trying to fight him, you know, angry about, you know, making him look bad, making him look like a weenie.
Right.
But in the last few years, he did come forward. And I watched an interview with him, mm-hmm. and he, when he tells the story, he looks genuine.
Yeah.
And he actually, the only reason he came back forward is because his daughter now is into ufology.
Is that so? That's the one, yeah. That's
yeah. He's the cowboy hat. I watched that. And he talks about his experience, and he was actually genuine.
He was offered $10,000 when he needed $10,000.
This was like a few years later.
Yeah,
a few years later.
Some skeptic crew came by and said, "I will pay you $10,000 if you just admit that it's a hoax." Yep.
And he's like, "I needed the money. I had the kids, you know, all this stuff, you know, and didn't do it."
Right.
And he said, "Now he's even been offered money, and he's just he can't. He's not going to take the money." Like,
right.
So, but pretty interesting story. Cool story, bro.
Yeah, cool story, bro. And again, even like the skeptics that talk about financial gain, there was no, for him, for Travis Walton, there was no immediate financial gain to be had. It's not like he became a super celebrity and sold book. Like the first money he made off of any of this was in the early 90s, almost 20 years later, 18 years later when Fire in the Sky was published and then the book and so forth. So right away,
they got some checks at some point in time that I got a picture of them all holding up a check.
Well, they got a check. That was from the National Enquirer.
Yeah.
The National Enquirer awarded the crew $5,000 for the most irrefutable UFO story.
Even though they had promised, like, if you could prove, it was like $100,000 was the grand prize.
Right.
And I have to say they did pretty fucking good.
Right.
Even if they hoaxed it, they should have got more than $5,000.
Yeah.
So then, and again, here's the against, right? Obviously, there's a lot against. One of the big arguments that are made by skeptics that are against it is that even though Travis Walton himself didn't have like a direct financial incentive, mm-hmm. like he had no idea that, oh, by 2015, I'm going to be on a lecture circuit and on Art Bell. Like that
and,
wasn't.
And really, is he making all that much money now?
No.
I thought about it. We probably could have got him on the show.
Yeah, we probably
could. Like we definitely could.
We still could.
I think it's better without it because of us making fun of his weight room.
Yeah, because then we can talk shit about the aliens.
He's gonna now we can't. No, we can't. We talked a bunch of shit.
No, we still can't.
He'll listen to the episode.
I don't want. Did you hear him speak? I don't want him on the show. Okay. Like, if you heard him speak, no.
So
I just want to paint him green real quick. See if he looks like Frankenstein with that haircut. Yeah.
One of the things that's against it is that apparently they had a November 10th contract to finish their logging with the Forestry Service.
They were
behind. And they were behind. And the contract had an act of God clause. And it said the only thing that will get you out is something unexplainable, an act of God. Otherwise, they start to deduct them 10% per day of the contract.
That's any construction.
Sure. So a lot of people think that this alien abduction story was their act of God clause to get them out of the contract so that they had more time to keep logging. But over the next several days, they spent all of their time on search crews looking for him. So they fell even farther behind on the contract. Yeah. So that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. One thing that is a little bit suspicious about what might have been implanted in their brains, not by an alien probe, but by the regular human psyche, is 2 weeks before this incident, NBC aired a movie called The UFO Incident, which was the story of Betty and Barney Hill, one of the other most famous abductions out there. And since Travis Walton and his brother were really big into UFOs, the whole crew was talked into watching this. So if there was something weird in the woods, they might have all been preconditioned into believing whatever,
right?
Like the mass hysteria was already, like the seed was planted.
Mothman,
The pact that they made about getting abducted together, which apparently Travis Walton's a shitty brother because he never got his brother abducted.
Well, they wouldn't answer him. He probably asked. The one thing about that, he was asked by a person in the crowd during a lecture if his family had any history of being abducted, seeing UFOs or psychic things. And he immediately said he won't comment.
Yeah, there was some stuff I read about like their family being a UFO family.
Yeah.
His dad had made several claims.
Yeah.
That's what the sheriff said.
Yeah, his brother said he'd been seeing for 10 or 12 years. They showed no concern for his well-being. He was like, no, they'll bring him back. It'll be good. Like his brother's like reactions to him being taken was just super as relaxed as mom was.
Yeah. And again, I mean, that to me, that evidence, if you believe in aliens and you believe in abductions, which, that bit of evidence helps support your cause.
Yeah.
But if you believe that they're all crazy and suffering from mass hysteria, that evidence helps support your cause. Right, like the same evidence can be used on both sides. Did you guys read about the thing that happened in 2004 with him, the game show, The Moment of Truth?
Yeah, he didn't pass the lie detector.
So yeah, so there's a game show that was
Reed,
on Fox.
No. I heard it.
Okay. There was a thing on Fox, a TV show in 2004 called The Moment of Truth, which sounds like it was a really fucking horrible game show. Yeah. So they would have people on.
It's like Nickelodeon Double Dare for adults. Yeah.
They would put them on a polygraph. And if they kept answering more and more difficult, challenging, and personal questions, the money amount kept getting higher. So one of the people on the show ended up being asked like the $200,000 question. It went up to $500,000. Her $200,000 question, it wasn't on this episode, was, have you ever cheated on your husband?
Ooh.
Fuck. And
well, it'd be easy if it was no.
It was yes.
Ooh.
She said yes.
She said yes.
The $200,000.
And the polygraph said no deceit. She won $200,000 and her husband left her.
Nice.
Wow.
So nice.
That's the nature of this game show.
Nice.
Right. So they had
ruining families. Yeah,
exactly.
Since 1970 or was it 19?
This was in the 2000s. This is 2004 when he was on it.
Go back.
So Walton gets offered to be on the show and he turns it down. He says, fuck you. I'm not doing that. I don't want to be on.
That's a high stress situation. Gimmicky.
So he says no. And then 2 weeks later, 100 people in his town, including himself, were all laid off permanently from the logging crews. Because it was like right during the recession. And he was like, fuck, like just got laid off, no money whatsoever. And so he calls him back and he's like, okay, look, I'll be on the show. But he's like, you have to promise this level of authenticity on your polygraphs. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'll only do this. He makes all these stipulations that he even thinks they're going to say no on because it isn't the standard contract, but they agree. He ends up on the show.
Don't worry.
We'll don't worry. We got it. So he ends up on the show. They push through. And when they get to the $100,000 question, they ask him, have you ever been abducted by aliens? He says yes. And they claim that the polygraph says deceit,
right?
Which would indicate that he hadn't been abducted by aliens.
I have a problem with that, though, because he actually believes that he was.
Yes.
So
I'm saying game. So, but you know what?
Yeah.
Back way back, like 75, 76, the first polygraph that they gave him, he actually failed and no one talks about it. It came up gross deception. So the first polygraph he ever took, he failed.
Well, one of the things is too, like,
but he just had
to defend that. Yeah.
He had the ab thing.
He didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Right.
He didn't even know if he was abducted. He didn't even know if he was visualizing like some sort of fucking hallucination.
Right.
He didn't. He even says that. He didn't know what had happened. It took him years.
And here's the other thing. He, because I was looking into it, because again, the polygraph, I don't know about polygraphs, but he passed.
I'm not on the polygraph side.
He passed 12 polygraphs between 1975 and 1993. He passed 12 different state-run polygraphs. As soon as he left the show, he went to New Mexico, because New Mexico has the strictest polygraph rules to be admitted into court.
Took another polygraph.
He took two.
Oh,
he went to a firm that does all the polygraphs for the Albuquerque Police Department, the New Mexico State Police, the U.S. Marshal's Office. They gave him two polygraphs there to see how he would score on modern tests, and he passed both of them with no deceit right after the show. And even a skeptic who looked at everything, who doesn't believe in any of this shit that happened, that was writing a blog about it, said that he has to agree that this polygraph test on the game show was bullshit.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you can't, because you do the test in blocks. You should have two separate charts with relevant questions on each. You have to have 9 questions per block in order to start
there's
to
base level.
They didn't do any of that. Yeah. They just like asked one question, the needle moved and they were like, liar, you know, but again, it was enough to like fucking ruin
reputation.
They got
it at Harbor Freight. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It didn't ruin his reputation.
No, it didn't.
But he said that there was over 16 polygraphs done within all the guys on all of them. And there was only that game show host thing was a fuck up.
Yep.
And then the one inconclusive from the one guy.
And his first one in 75. Yeah. Deception. But even the producers themselves of the Fox TV show on the contract that they made everyone sign who was going to be on it said, you cannot use these polygraph results in a court of law.
Right.
Yeah. These are not,
it's not real poly.
The contract even said this polygraph is not a real indication of whether you're telling the truth or you're being deceived.
So our thoughts on that, Polly, is it's bullshit.
Right.
His first one, I would agree. Like if something, even if nothing happened to him, if he was out there in the cold and he was fucked up and he was hallucinating, he still wouldn't know. I think that he would fail his poly anyway,
right?
Because he wouldn't know what the fuck happened to him.
Right.
I don't know. I have a hard time following this story because for one, we talked about our encounters on the alien abductions episode in Cosmos, early episodes. Like that was a long time ago, but, I don't know. Like I'm a person that I don't know. There could be something out there. There might not be there might be, who knows. But the problem that I see with this story is not too generic in like description, like, or whatever, but it's like, oh, I saw these aliens and then there's guys with glass bowls on their heads and I was on an operating table.
Who fucking knows though? We don't know that you compare it to.
I know. Yeah. I know. I'm just saying like for me to be able to take the story in, I'm just like, that just doesn't do it for me. Like,
well, that's the problem that the studio had when they hired the screenwriter, a woman named Stacey Torme, to write Fire in the Sky. They wrote it accurately, and the studio immediately said, "You cannot do this. It's so generic,
fucking boring."
But the reason it's boring is because this was the one. Like the stereotypical, I was on a table, the aliens were standing over me. They're like,
this
is the first of those.
I understand that.
Right.
But I think if you're an alien with some sort of hovering fucking craft that's glowing, but reflecting at the same time, that you don't have a fucking table. You know what I mean? Like look at
Egypt though. Like that might've been a high caliber of a technology and they have like fucking stone everything. And like, you know what I mean?
At the time. Yeah. I went with the time, but they didn't have flying spaceships.
You don't know that.
I might. You don't know that.
I might.
And there was I'm just saying like for me, like, and this is my opinion is I have a hard time following that because of that. That's all things that he had seen in a movie or, you know what I mean? That was told to him or that you would picture at that time.
Sure.
He didn't have anything spectacular that you're like, oh wow. They didn't have that in 1975. Well, that has never been even thought of.
The projection screen thing sort of.
That's been thought of though. That had been around for a long time.
The interesting thing about this case to me is all these motherfuckers in the woods saw something. They interpreted it.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, they honestly interpreted what they saw together as a flying disc. Yeah. They were scared shitless. They went down and told the cops at risk of their own reputation. Their stories didn't vary or show any of the holes that a bunch of people making some shit up would have done.
And where was he for 5 days?
They saw something that they perceived. And where was he for like very fucking strange.
No,
like,
I agree. Strange. I agree. And I'm not saying that. I'm not calling these guys liars. You know what I mean? Like, don't take it that way.
I'm just wondering, what did they see? And what did this guy really
do? Yeah, it's like, it's hard to imagine. I'm not even playing skeptic because fucking we don't know what the fuck's out there.
One other thing we didn't mention was when he came back after the 5 day stint, when he was seen and medically treated, they did blood and urine analysis and there was no trace of acetone in his blood. So if he had gone allegedly 5 days without food and or water, your body starts to break down the fat in your blood and the byproduct is acetone and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe they gave him some kind of IV or something, you know?
Yeah, who knows?
They gave him Tasty Weed.
But I mean, the fact of the matter, I mean, maybe it was a fucking covert American craft and it fucked him up and everyone fucking ran off and they were like, well, motherfucker, like, what are we going to do with this guy? And like, he's so drugged up. Like he even admits, like, I was so drugged up. I could barely open my eyelids and I could barely stand up and I'm all woozy and fucked up. But the doctors were aliens with white. And it's like, really, you weren't just tripping balls on some fucking medication.
I thought a lot about the high voltage thing. If he would have approached the craft and got under it, he would create a ground. You know what I mean? Right. If it was high voltage, like if you got too close to the power lines, if you held a fucking metal, yeah, like
it'll arc.
your pool net yeah. up there, it would fucking connect to ground and it would fucking create, it would go through you. So it sounds like that could have happened and it would make that kind of light effect. It would definitely knock his ass on the ground. It would definitely make him hurt.
It was a giant Tesla coil. It's
Tesla in there. He has the belief now in recent interviews that he doesn't look at them abducting him anymore. Right. He thinks
they're helping.
Accident that when they took off, it hurt him and they took him and so that they could treat him.
Which kind of makes sense or whatever. I don't know.
They leave you in the road after they heal you. They just leave you on the street.
Like why does the alien craft want to heal you?
Well, to me, if it was like if you followed the
check his wallet, take him home.
Like one of the hypotheses is that it was a secret American craft. He got hit by some sort of a discharge from the craft. All these people took off. They're like, fuck, there's six eyewitnesses. Just fucking scoop him up and we'll figure it out. And then it's like, fuck, there's a whole search party and the cops are there. There's a fucking UFO. They're like, let's just heal his ass, drop him off at the fucking AM PM and fucking call it a day. Yeah. And they fucking got him feeling better, dropped him off.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
He didn't have any drugs in his system. They tested him immediately at the hospital. Didn't have any drugs in his system. Didn't have any alcohol in his system.
I mean, the other thing, unless it was some,
he was a crazy drug
obviously
addict,
a hoax he perpetrated. If he put some shit in the woods for some unknown reason to scare the shit out of everybody, I mean, maybe it was just a great hoax.
The other thing is, how did he get out of there without the dogs
being able to sniff him? That's weird. Yeah. Like so, that. I mean, so there's a lot of weirdness. Yeah. Like there's a lot of shit that doesn't add up to just dismiss it.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed too was, and like I said, I'm just pointing things out that kind of stood out to me. When I watched multiple interviews from him. I watched the National Geographic. I watched one where he was doing a lecture at the MOFON. Mm-hmm. I watched like two other ones MOFON
is for black
people. It's fine. Let's ignore his mistake and just
MOFON is black folks with afros.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like that better. I go to the MOFON. But I watched, a few different interviews or him lecturing or whatever. And his story is exactly word for word.
Well, you told it a million times.
I know.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, it was kind of weird to
me. At least he didn't get embellished. He didn't, and grandiose.
True. I mean, as far as we know.
Right.
But it just seemed rehearsed. It seemed.
Think about Dave though. Dave has to give that same fucking lecture every year, right?
I know, but you change words. Right?
I do change, but here's the thing though. Like when I'm giving a lecture that I've given a fucking 100 times, like I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm not planning on it. I'm just covering what I'm going to cover. And when I think back on the lecture, it ends up being the exact, like almost the exact same thing. Like I even realize in the middle of it, oh shit, this is when I always tell that joke that I told that one time that went off. And then I tell it and it's
instinctual.
It's probably 80% identical when I tell my lectures over and over.
It was just, to me, there were some keywords that he used and they weren't replaced. It was like the same thing. And I was like, again, this is just my perception and what I saw and things that stood out to me. I thought that was kind of weird because I've heard people tell different stories. You watch different things, different accounts. They change certain things, you know, like this guy, and maybe he's just paranoid that somebody might take him for a fake if he didn't say the exact same thing that he said.
Well, I was going to say something different, you know what I mean? The account of what happened.
Well, right. I know, but there's different words as you get later on in life, your emotions change. You might have a different word. Your vocabulary changes.
Right.
So I guess, again, just something I saw and heard, and I thought it stood out to me.
It's a weird case. And there was a similar case that doesn't really get any press that happened. I want to say it was in 98. It was loggers in, I guess they were outside, and it was loggers in a truck. Mm-hmm. They were outside of a town called Coupon, Pennsylvania. Mm. Which is apparently a real town.
Coupon or Coupon?
It's spelled like
A coupon.
Coupon. Oh. C-O-U-P-O-N. I say coupon.
I say coupon.
Coupon.
You say coupon?
Coupon.
I say coupon.
Coupon.
But it was Coupon, Pennsylvania. Coupon. And it was this team. A guy named Jay Bellevaux was the foreman. And then he had loggers. A guy named Andy Hernandez. A guy named Jude McConkie. And then this woman named Jessica Stemmen. And then a couple of others. Ariana Henry, Tara Keitley, Ryan Fester, and Jennifer Kirkland.
And apparently Jude McConkie saw a UFO and he disappeared and they all started looking for him. But then afterwards they found out that it wasn't a UFO, that
he just shit his pants and hid in the woods.
Well, he shit his pants and hid in the woods, but
he's a logger. That's what they do.
It was apparently a rare condition called hypocoidal amnesia, where when a group of people get together in the woods and have a bunch of stinky, nasty sex, they all start to hallucinate together.
That makes sense.
And none of that story is true. Those are actually our Patreon shout outs for the week, but I thought I'd sneak it in.
Thank as you if to they our got Patreon.
Abducted. And did fall for hypnocoidal amnesia, which is
that a real serious term?
I made it up. Sounds good though.
It makes sense. It's probably real. Yeah. Happened to one person.
Yeah. Well, let's get those guys together and see what happens.
Yeah, stinky sex.
Make it happen, Captain.
So we usually say sponsors at this point, but we have the flip side of that. We are actually sponsoring a fight organization. So we are sponsoring someone. So we're doing the reverse now. So we need to make you aware of it. It's Primal FC, and it's actually a fight organization. It'd be similar to something you would think of like UFC. So to any of our fans that are into MMA, we're famous as fuck. Like, someone's going to get beat down and bleed on a Sofa King podcast logo in the middle of an octagon. Like, legit, like, there's going to be a fight and someone's going to get knocked out on our logo. So you can follow them, you can like them, you can find them. They're having an event on March 24th. It's actually in Phuket, Thailand, which a lot of our fans are going to love because it's spelled fuck it. It's P-H-U.
Yeah.
So their Facebook page is at Primal FC. Their Instagram page is at Primal Fighting. You can follow them on Twitter at Primal FC. So whichever whatever those social media you use. It's actually, if you're into MMA, it is owned and operated by Mike Quick Swick of the UFC, former UFC fighter. So it's kind of a big deal. Really happy to be involved. But that first event, you're going to be able to watch it streaming on MikeSwick.com. It's 6 p.m. Thailand time. That is 4 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if people in the United States, you're going to have to get up early. But there's a lot of fights.
What about the Australians, Brent? What time do they get to watch?
Australians get to watch it at 10 p.m. And people in the UK can watch it at 11 a.m. And that's MikeSwick.com, Primal FC, Friday, March 24th, 2017.
So watch the fightings.
Yeah. Yep. And if you're in Phuket, Thailand, there are tickets available for that date. Yeah. So check it out. They have some good card. There's a lot of girl fighters. Actually, there's an ex-Bellator champ. So there's some names on there. Some people that are really into MMA, you might recognize some of that.
Sorry, maple syrup lovers. You don't get to watch it.
No.
Well, your beady eyes won't be able to see the screen.
Canadians can watch it. They're directly above one of those time zones.
But they can't see the screen, actually. Oh, they have to watch on their computer or something.
I like that you said they're above the time zone instead of in the actual time zone.
No, they're above it.
They're up there.
Did you see that Japanese guy that made the new map of the globe that is the most accurate representation?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's hard to say. I don't know. There is that whole theory that was on that TV show that all the continents, that the sizes are exaggerated to create like power, like a mindset to trick us to make it seem like the United States is more powerful than it is, but it's really tiny. Like, all the continents aren't actually the size you think they are.
Well, you would have to fuck with a lot of odometers to convince me of that.
Yeah, but the look of it, though, like, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Sponsors?
Have you driven across Africa?
Yeah.
Lies.
I felt the rains down.
He was born in Africa.
You did what rains? What was it?
I felt the rains down in Africa.
I want you to sing it when you say it, sir. All right. So real sponsors. Thank you to
LU I felt Pacheco. The rains down in Africa.
I felt the anticipation of the interruption. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can
gonna
find
take
them
a lot
in most
keep
major
me away
grocery stores
from you.
Dave did it, guys.
It's something that 100 men or more could never do.
Speaking of that song, I went to a show, an 80s cover show, Members Only in Bakersfield. If you're in Bakersfield and you've never gone to that show, go see Members Only. It's as close as you can get to seeing the original artist perform your favorite 80s song. They do every fucking song and it's spot on. Like, it's insane. If Dave didn't have social anxiety, And filming it does no justice to it.
I don't have social anxiety. You have social anxiety.
Yeah, you do.
No.
Dave's going to spin it on me. Dave can barely hang out at a barbecue.
No, I just don't.
With friends.
I just don't like people.
No, well,
he's good when he's there. He just
would you
go
to the Members Only show the next time?
No.
You know what?
No, that
you know
sounds
what
awful.
You know what I love?
Told you.
At least you're honest.
Yeah. But I'm not anxious. It's not like when I'm walking up, I'm like anxious. There's no anxiety about it. I just have no desire to go.
Yeah. He's lazy is what he's saying. He's
black. No desire to be.
One of our listeners, actually, Kyle Whitaker, is a guitar player. And like, I know him, we're friends, but I never saw him perform like that. He's fucking hilarious. Like hot pink shirt, fucking flipped up collar, sunglasses. He's fucking like grinding on the mic stand and fucking swooning the ladies while he sings 80s songs. It's fucking hilarious.
Sounds like something you'd enjoy.
It was hot. I'm not going to lie. I was rock hard.
I know.
Yeah.
Angry as a motherfucker.
Thanks to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. It can be found at most major grocery stores. You can log on to Amazon.com, ElYucateco.com, eBay. You can get it at MexGrocer.co.uk. If you're outside of the United States, you can use code SOFAKING on their website to save some money. And if you haven't tried it, you should. Thank you to PrintDirtCheap.com. Any type of printed good, they can do it, from banners, stickers, I mean, anything, seriously. Check out their website, and you can also save some money there by using code SOFAKING. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics for all of our shirts. He is currently making a screen for a graphic for a limited quantity super cool shirt that we're about to do, and we haven't told you yet, but yes. You'll see.
Are we doing that limited quantity? I wanted to do that normal.
I don't know. Whatever. Too bad. Hype. There's going to be a limited time period and a limited quantity. So that's coming up. I just ordered the blank shirts for it. So thanks to DeLeon Graphics. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs. And thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com for instructional DVDs and apparel. And that is all I have for that. And check out Primal FC. Go follow their page and said Sofa King made me do it. That would be cool if you commented Sofa King made me do it, so they know that we talked about them. That's all I got.
Dicks. Dave, again.
Tainter tots. I don't know. That's when you hide your tater tots in your underwear, man.
Dick tainters.
Yeah, dick tainters. Tainter tots.
Gonna pick me a lot up, take me away from you.
What is that? That
sounds good. All right. About the rain. All right, don't be a retard.
La música de Harry Fraud.
You don't know how to drive a spaceship. You don't know how to fly a car. You don't know how to drive a spaceship. You don't know how to fly a car.
What your people on? Did your people go and shuffle? You're in the vortex, why you lying again? Spitting shit stupid, you're trying again. Whose bones are you trying to bend? Extra law shit, super shit. What's your name, kid, son? What your game is? What your fame about? Without the dick pistol, aim right at the mouth. Come in the bitch's head, then she runs in the house. You don't know what the daily letter is? Sold on your cardigan sweater, kid. We're like a bunch of older eaters, a bunch of overachievers, a bunch of old cheaters, a bunch of old niggas with some old beaters. You got a cop with your name on it. You got an echo shirt with a shit stain on it. You put a five on it, put a paint on it. Whip out the dick and put your name on it. Get on
you
it.
You don't know how to drive a spaceship. You don't know how to fly a car. You don't know how to drive a spaceship. You don't know how to fly a car. You put five on it, put paint on it. You put five on it, put paint on it. You put five on it, put paint on it. You put five on it, put paint on it.
Rolling off the ecstasy, fucking with a raver chick. Rave the dick in front of her face like it's a glow stick. With drugs I do aerobics, you stretch it then work out. My dick begin her cervix and still be trying to make out. Way out my body, out the serving Vegas. Like to drink beer with mashed potatoes. Rhyme like Resi Novo and Bristol Retro. Could be the love child, a Devin and Estero. If you don't get that, then bro, you a lame. Fucking hoes like my dick made of polyurethane. Poly then a different lane, they wanna merge over. Yeah, your bitch is pickle. Now everything kosher. Used to whip the soda, hard coat like Minnesota. Getting money in a D like I was Lee Iacocca. Till I fell off, cause I fucked up the quota. Started bruising, breaking, now a nigga getting over.
You don't know how to drive a spaceship. You don't know how to fly a car. You don't know how to drive a spaceship. You don't know how to fly a car. You put five on it, put paint on it. You put five on it, put paint on it. You put five on it, put paint on it. Put five on it, put pain on it.
Dear diarrhea, I have severe diarrhea. Going on any MC that I hear by a speaker on a beer diet. Nearsighted, to come and get here by it. Tyson on the mic, see your ear bite it. MHC, put the CEO on the MAP. G, lot of them whack, but them ain't we. CE, then when dumbed down, I'm still hard than the SATs. It sound crisp when Pete's slurring. You put the eat urine in featuring. Rockabye, your song, they go to sleep during. Copyright the rhyme so they don't eat with. words and I write a jam determined. It comes so easy, I don't plan to word it. To the back of the limo like Iron Man with bourbon. Fraud on the beat, now I'm all over the web. Spider-Man's detergent.
You don't know how to drive a spaceship. You don't know how to fly a car. You don't know how to drive a spaceship. You don't know how to fly a car. You put a 5 on it, put a paint on it. You put a 5 on it, put a paint on it. You put a 5 on it, put a paint on it. You put a 5 on it, put a paint on it.